Hi. Tonight's episode is going to involve a lot of geopolitical examination. And what I'm doing is I'm taking a comparative study. We look at the world of Syria, who occupied Lebanon from 1976 to 2006. It was primarily Bashar al-Assad's father that conducted that type of occupation and domination. Equally, we had the Karelia region, which is northern Russia, Karelia region, which had a large number of Finlanders. And we had that region that was occupied. Now the reason it was occupied is when the Soviet Union relocated their headquarters to St. Petersburg as the centerpiece of the country. It was only 40 kilometers from Helsinki, and they felt threatened. So what they did is they invaded the isthmus of Finland by Lake Lagoda, and they tried to take over the Finnish people at the borders from all sides. And especially the isthmus, because that was the area of land between the sea and Lake Lagoda that they needed to protect in order to protect their capital of St. Petersburg. Now, Don, I see you on the line. I'm just going to talk for about a minute. The Soviet Karelia area was the largest of Stalinist terror for a number of reasons. It was geographically located on the northwestern edge of the Soviet state on the international border of Finland, which I just mentioned. Now, there were four series of wars that Finland and Russia engaged in from 1905 to the 1940s. Finland won in 1905. In 1970, it was a toss-up that ended with a treaty, and Russia did gain some ground, but Russia did continue to take advantage of Finland by sending forced Finns into labor camps and maximizing their use by their knowledge of lumber, how to cut down lumber and to be like an industrial workforce for Russia. Frequently, there was tension between Finland and the Soviet Union because of border disputes. Because a large number of Finnish-speaking or Finnish-related people, such as Ingrians or Karelians, lived in the Soviet Union. During the terror years, the minorities experienced hard times with deportation, forced migration, as well as the liquidation of many group leaders and politicians. Now, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not going to go into the whole historical context, but the Soviet Union has had a systematic policy of expansionism since their existence. Even when they were in Imperial Russia, they've tried to control the Dardanelles Straits. They persecuted Kyrgyzstanis and other people from the Southern Range countries, and it's well known. But my main point is this. Now, in modern times, we have a different type of scenario. We have Belgium cells that just killed 153 French in six different targeted areas. And, you know, the borders are not as clear. But just as the Soviet Union tried to dominate their own people within the borders when they established collectivism and the peasant population was dominated and purged through the Stalin years, and they also tried to recruit labor camp victims through Finland and Hungary. How could that be any different than what's going on now, where the Muslim community, the extremist groups, are creating havoc within Iraq and Syria and displacing people? They're not supporting their own people or even trying to unite or fortify their Muslim forces. Rather, they're forcing their own population into Christian-based countries and, you know, through death and destruction and starvation and forcing people to walk across borders and put their lives at risk. How is that any different than Stalin's own terrorization of its own people? So with that posed question, I'm going to bring Don in, and I do have a few more things to say about the Russian-Finnish War of 1939 to 1941. Good evening, Don. John was going to be a little late.
All right. Well, good evening you and all the people who are on board. We'll wait for John, but for the most part, how you doing? How you guys doing? This is going to be a it's kind of a history lesson today. It sounds like.
Yeah, but I don't want to take it so deep that people can't. I want you to be able to just theorize on your own merits. Like, you don't have to co-opt my historical lesson. You can just kind of theorize because. Really, up until now, you know, like you and I have lived through all this Vietnam crap and different, you know, I wouldn't say world wars, but imperial wars, and all of a sudden we're faced now with it's not just our country that's facing the retribution of occupying Iraq and Afghanistan, but the French aren't. They're not playing. Tonight they went in and they attacked ISIS targets 28 times. So they had a less than a 24-hour turnaround before their military launched an attack. So how do you feel about just everything that's going on in the news this weekend?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news that doesn't... It really doesn't have anything to do with us in the U.S. And I'm saying this kind of cynically because we are relatively neutral or passive in what we have been doing thus far with ISIS and what we have been with the French massacre. Just this weekend,
well,
what have we done? We have done zero.
Okay, well, can I retract that statement?
O-W.
I mean, can I challenge your theory for a minute?
Because
every Western country is a potential victim of extreme Muslim countries. They may not be able to touch us because France is in the same hemisphere as the Middle East, and to tell you the truth, only the Mediterranean Sea separates France from Syria. But they're not even sure which Muslim terrorist cell developed this six-point plan that took place in Paris over the weekend. I mean, I think it's a little preemptive to strike Syrian targets, don't you?
That's ridiculous. We don't even know if they're these people who committed this atrocity are French citizens, Syrian citizens. They could be from Algeria. Who, you know, we don't even know who they are yet. They haven't disclosed.
Well, they are from Belgium, and two were brothers.
Right.
And that's
right.
About all I've heard so far.
So should we? No, we should bomb Belgium. I think that would be appropriate because
the French are going to go in and bomb another European country that has sympathetic Muslims.
So why should we go in and bomb Syria? Why should they go in and bomb Syria?
I'm really not sure what the, I'm not going to speculate on that because I'm not part of the French foreign policy making division. I just know that at this personal level, it seems like they're just reacting.
I hope you're not a part of the French foreign.
They're just reacting to what's going on. But all I'm saying is CNN isn't really revealing a lot of specifics, or the
None
national news agencies.
They've been told to be gagged. They've been told, I'm a journalism major, I've been in the newspaper forever. But you don't think that these articles are being written or reported on that are go against, let's say, the police, the FBI, CIA. They can shut down an article in a heartbeat. The you know, Department of Defense, these guys don't report the truth. They report what they can, and the rest of the government or private entities, corporations, whatever it may be, they tell the reporters and the editors what they can publish.
Okay, well, so, there was one thing uncovered tonight. Fuck.
What?
Okay, one of the why is Bob Dylan appearing in an ad on CNN, for Christ's sake? One of the people who killed all those people this weekend at the Baklavan Theater, supposedly that person disguised himself as a Syrian refugee.
Okay.
And he embedded himself within a current wave of war refugees.
Was he from the U.S.? Because then we should
bomb
ourselves.
No, he was Syrian.
Okay.
But over 4 million refugees have come to Europe since the crisis started. Now, I don't think France is... I really don't know how many the French have taken in. I know Germany has taken in at least 250,000.
Right. And the Hungarians have taken at least that many. You know, and more, probably more.
Yeah, but
and
they turned them away.
No, they're still in the country. They got there before they started turning them away to Austria and, one other country was taking them in before they could go around to Germany. So, yeah, remember that there are quite a few Russian countries in that sphere that are Muslim. So they'll be ultimately taking them.
I guess the main thing, Don, is I'm trying to kind of like imagine a hand that's like a wave. I'm trying to dissect in the wake of the Syrian crisis in which I just read that the European Union has only relocated 147 of 160,000 new refugees, and Sweden and Finland are one of the two countries that have successfully done that. But I know that they've relocated over 5 grand. In the wake of this, okay, we have Europe, which is, we can describe it as a Christian yet still agnostic series of nations that have somewhat abandoned Christianity, but yet they still hold Western values. And then we have this core group of ISIS crazy people, the Islamic State of the Levant, that are trying to create solely a holy war type style nation that's going to level anybody who is not worthy or capable of religious purification. And how is it all going to play out? How is it going to end? And when all these people end up somewhere permanently, how can that be compared to the past war situations where people were displaced all over Europe because of major world wars, but this is a different style of war.
Right, and this is a different style of peoples. Those peoples that Stalin put in the gulag and sent all over, expelled, whatever he did with them, because it was in the millions, these people were more or less pure. They were blue-eyed, blonde-haired people, and you could assimilate into other countries with a lot more ease and less threatening manner than you can when you see brown-skinned, brown-eyed,
that's
you know,
a good point.
People coming across.
And you know what? The media didn't. It was a secretive operation. It was a secret migration. For example, the Finnish people who lived on the western border of Russia, but it was bordering their own people. It was called the Soviet Karelia. Because the Finns and the Soviets fought for 40 to 60 years over border disputes. But the fact of the matter is some of those people, let's just say you're a foreigner in Russia and you got absorbed over a shaky border, you were often sent to migrant camps 100 to 1,000 miles away, and there was no media attention. Nobody noticed. You were just absorbed into this mainstream of suffering. And it happened all the way from northern Russia to southern Russia. And it was pretty screwed up, actually.
Oh, no, very screwed up. You know, these people were in it for socialist. They wanted people to become socialists and communists. So these folks, that's all a part of their modus operandi. So they're going to cleanse their own people with the genocide and displacement just to, because the ideals are more important than the people are. Sounds like Citizens United and the Republicans. You know, the corporations, the big entity is much more important than the individual. And so that's why what they are doing is not different, because ISIS doesn't give a shit about the individuals. They don't have.
You know, I do have an example. Like, it's funny that I was watching this documentary about Lenin, you know, Vladimir Lenin, who started the socialist movement in Russia. And he never trusted Stalin as a successor. He said Stalin was too hungry for power. He didn't have the benefit of the people in mind. In fact, from 1809 to the early 1900s, first Finland was controlled by Sweden for 100 years, and then from 1809 to 1909 or so, Russia tried to control them. And actually, the Finns didn't get their full independence till after 1918, until Imperial Russia fell to Lenin. But the fact of the matter is the reason I'm bringing up these border disputes as an example is, as John and I talked about, and John, I do see you on the air. As John and I talked about, Stalin did have a vision, though. Like, one of his military advisors said he would spin the globe every day and stare at it. And he had a centralized, focused vision of what he wanted to accomplish. But the thing with the terrorists is they're just picking random targets who have no affinity or denial to them. It's one thing if they held them at those 120 people who died in the Baklavan theater at gunpoint and said, convert to Islam or I'll kill you. Like, they don't even have an objective in killing these people. They're just randomly just killing any Westerner as some type of symbolic gesture. And as John and I stated on the air Friday night, it's symbolic and it's old. Nobody cares about random terrorist attacks anymore. What is it going to accomplish?
And that's what I was saying when I just said, you know, but the thing is, too, oh, my God.
John, you're on the air, too, but let's let Don finish. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that ultimately the ISIS doesn't have any border. Stalin and Lenin, the main difference was that Lenin wanted to keep socialism local, and Stalin wanted to make it a global concept, and that's one of the reasons why he spun the globe every day, to keep in mind that he wanted to rule the world pretty much.
And another, before I let John, I'm just going to state one more difference. Even though Bashar al-Assad has, let's just say probably 1 million Syrians have died and 4.5 million have gone in exile. Did you guys know that Stalin killed over 30,000 of his top military advisors over a 4 to 5 year period? And by the time they invaded Finland for the fourth time in 1939 in the Winter War, the reason the Finns won and held them off so long is because they had no military coordination because all their top executives were dead.
What did you?
I mean, what could you imagine if Obama killed General Petraeus and everybody else, 30,000 of people like General Petraeus? I mean, cut off a hand to save a foot. John, by the way, welcome to the show tonight.
Greetings, Hammer. Proceed. This is a very entertaining subject.
Yeah, by the way, John and I were the breaking news Friday going into Saturday. We were probably one of the first BTR shows to cover the Paris killings.
Is that why it was so popular?
Yeah, we got several live listens and several archive listens. It hasn't even been 48 hours yet. Well, Don, why don't you take what I said and make a parallel statement about, I mean, where do you think ISIS is going to strike next? If the two Western countries of France, Germany, let's just say it's the U.S., France, and Germany, let's say we get more coordinated in our attacks on cities like Raqqa in Syria and that other place where Jihadi John was taken out. What is going to happen next? Does anybody have any ideas?
Yeah, we're going to be. There's the concept that all the Caucasians are worried about, and that's called assimilation. We're going to soon have Syrian businesses. They're great business people. They're very good workers when they get into the workforce. We're going to see Germany take on a whole lot less labor. They're going to be the new Mexicans. And Hungary, they're going to be people who are going to be displaced. And Austria, that's not going to make a difference. They're going to pretty much corral them and keep them in ghettos, which are just cities where they're just sitting doing nothing.
Yeah, but did you know in places like Turkey, it's illegal for the refugees to go to schools or work, but in Germany it takes up to 3 months to get a job. And the European Union's trying to coordinate it on a upper management level. It's kind of a mess right now. People want to go to work. They don't want to sit around in these countries.
Right. Well, that's not their purpose for leaving. They're leaving so that they can provide, they can work to provide for themselves, instead of being, target practice for ISIS and whoever else is coming down the pipe. So these people are out here to work. They're out here to live. They're out here to survive and take care of their family. That's why they're out here. You've got maybe, I'll say, 5%, 8% might be who might be, potential terrorists or whatever, but there's
going
to be
90%. Well, John, you didn't catch this part, but one of the killers disguised themselves as a refugee, supposedly. Now, I don't know to what extent or if he falsified papers or if he just came in with a herd, but CNN is reporting that tonight.
And Jane had a good suggestion. He might be from Belgium, so we need to bomb Belgium.
No, I didn't say that. Don did. Like, France is really going to go in there and bomb another European country.
Bomb Belgium, bomb Belgium, bomb Belgium.
Well, they need to root out some of these terrorists. I think maybe it's harder when you're in a fragmented region with, we have one big giant country, but Europe has like 9 countries all squished together. So maybe it's easier
Belgium,
to slip. Maybe it's easier to slip through the borders.
Bomb Belgium, bomb Belgium.
Oh God! take out Reno.
If we. No, take out Minnesota, my gosh. They got more Muslims in there than, except for Baltimore and Philadelphia.
Actually, Michigan has the highest number of Muslims in the U.S.
Yeah, it does.
Down by Dearborn.
Right in Detroit down there. But I'm just kidding, folks. I'm just kidding.
Well, John listed his address on the last show. He wants the Taliban to come after him.
Oh, so he listed one ISIS way, Syria 89502.
He wants to die a Christian martyr at the hands of ISIS.
There you
John,
go, John.
Are you putting your groceries away, John?
That's why the Muslims exist.
What, John?
Yes. The groceries are in the car. I'm driving down the street. But as I said last time, I'm at 2041 Euclid, number 7, in Santa Monica. Just jump over the gate. I'm waiting for you. What I was trying to state is that people are living in terror, and understandably so. But the whole point is, are we going to run around and be all freaked out because 120 people got killed? Quite tragically, I must add, too, yes. But the point is, hundreds and thousands of people die every day from all kinds of things, from the tobacco, from alcohol, from cancer, just the chemicals we put out. So am I going to just run and cry and you know, just die in the desert here because, you know, someone wants to get freaky with a few people? No, you know, death is all around me, so if you want me, come and get me. I'm ready. You know, I'm halfway through my life anyway, so I don't have that much to reinvest. The younger kids don't do this, but, you know, someone like me, you know, if you want a target to look at, I'm the guy.
Well, that kind of sounds like a suicide wish.
Yeah, I'm like,
no,
what is he talking about?
It's the fact of, are we going to run and be scared? That, you know, in other words, how many millions of people live in the U.S. or in France? So what's 120 people? What's 1,000? I mean, I'm talking as a percentage. I'm saying if you want to be scared and freaked out, be afraid of the water you drink, the food you eat, you know, the factory that you work in, stuff like that. That is far more dangerous than some random group of whack people out there. That's
awesome. Yeah, because the cops walking on the same side of the street now, that's way more dangerous than any faction of ISIS.
You know, we can tie in the United States police behavior to this, but I think that would be a mistake tonight.
No, that was the original.
I do want to mention
that's the ISIS model is the United States police department.
I do want to mention that John and I thought it was rather preemptive of French fighter jets bombing a series of ISIS sites in Raqqa, Syria tonight, less than 48 hours after this terrorist attack, when they don't even have all the names of the assailants.
Well, yeah, especially since they were so critical of our President Bush. This is beyond bushwhacking. I mean, this is kind of over the top. They haven't even figured this out.
That was
right?
Pretty funny.
I mean, they're like all over our president. Like, we didn't get all the information. We're just jumping out there, and here they are. Let's get these jets going here because, you know, they kind of crossed the border. I mean, it's not like they took out, you know, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center there. So, I don't know. But here's something. I have to admit, tonight, I think we need a full confession from Jane Hoffman. The bloody truth that will take her to the ground. And I'll ask the question right now.
You know, I can't do that right now, John, because the show is about Joseph Stalin and his tactical management.
You haven't heard the question yet.
Can I finish what I was saying? Yeah. The whole proposal tonight is this. You had a country named Russia that's made several alliances with Germany and others throughout the dawn of age. And then they had a giant transitions in 1917. But throughout the course of Stalin's life, he killed 20 million of his own, probably 10 million peasants and others that he took from Finland, Hungary, the Ukraine, Slovakia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and he sent them all to labor camps and hid them in the woods and did whatever. He worked him to death, literally. And how is that different from someone named Bashar al-Assad, who his father occupied Lebanon for 29 years, and then they massacred one whole city in Syria once in the 80s. And now he's displacing people all over the world and making a mess globally, whereas Stalin did it secretively within his own borders. So, but I wanted to mention that France has been conducting airstrikes against ISIS since September. So this, it wasn't a first-time hit on these Syrian outlaws.
Well, that's good to hear. But what I want to know is, are you a member of the Communist Party? That was the question.
No, but I used to be a card-carrying communist and an outspoken socialist.
There you go.
Damn.
What do I got to lose? I'm still poor.
That's what you're supposed to be if you're promoting those kind of philosophies.
I did believe in collectivism, and I did believe in the government having a central control, and I did believe in the elimination of the private sector at one point in my life.
Wow.
And you defected.
I didn't know that.
See,
well,
did
you guys know? Of the private sector. The elimination of the private sector. Is that what you said?
Yes, I believe all money, just like the Book of Acts, where Ananias and Sapphira, they pooled all their possessions into one for the church. And the church
right.
managed every resource, and Ananias kept one thing for herself, and she died because of it.
Yeah, exactly. So why would we want to do that? Because with greed, well, that was your thought back then, but with greed, everybody's going to want that one thing, so everybody's going to be dead, and we're not going to have civilization anymore. Are you a Ben Carson alike?
No, I think he's a bonehead.
Okay. Because some of the stuff that you...
I've actually gravitated back to Hillary Clinton. She's the only competent candidate on both sides besides Bernie Sanders.
She used to be a communist, too.
He's not. I found out through a program that the police endorsed him when he ran for mayor of Vermont, and that he balanced the city budget so precisely that even over 65-70% of Republicans voted him when he became senator.
And isn't he also endorsed by Black Jesus?
He's Jewish, and Jewish people are smart, so therefore he's incompetent.
Wow.
I mean, therefore he's competent.
Wow.
Are we talking
about
Ben Carson?
Yeah.
No, we're
talking
about Bernie Sanders. Is Ben Carson Jewish?
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I was talking about Ben because he's got Black Jesus. So
I don't know much about Black. Ben Carson.
He's got a.
I know is that the evangelical Jewish people like him.
He has a picture of him and Black Jesus together in his house, I believe. That's what
whatever.
That came from.
You guys. Take the show over for 60 seconds. I have to go touch base with somebody. I'll be back.
I'm surprised you guys don't know this. I mean, I haven't followed anything, and I just turned on the TV Saturday Night Live, and they were doing the Black Jesus sketch. And then I saw on the news, Yahoo, it's like, there's a picture of Black Jesus and Ben Carson.
Well,
I know
that Donald Trump called Ben Carson pathological, but Don can take that statement. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Wow.
No. So you saw you're talking about the Trump SNL show because
I haven't seen that one. I just saw like this weekend. It's been years. I used to, when I was younger, watch Saturday Night Live kind of in the era of Billy Crystal or or also Chevy Chase, you know, some of the earlier years. But somewhere in the last 10 years, my timing schedule just didn't line up with it. I kind of lost connection. It's like it wasn't, you know, I wasn't politically connected to a lot of the humor. And so yesterday, I decided to just, you know, check it out just because it's been so long. And they did a Black Jesus sketch. And I thought, oh, they, you know, kind of just making this up. And then when I saw the news, there was a picture of Black Jesus portrayed in his house. I was like, wow.
Well, you know, I've talked about that before. Anybody who's got any sense knows that Jesus was black or from, you know, the Mediterranean area, but he was at least brown. But
somebody has
worked.
A bad connection.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
me.
Static? Because I'm not bumping anything.
Yeah, there's a lot of static, and I might have to call in on my cell phone. No,
okay,
I'm,
well, bottom line.
I want an intelligent answer. The hell with the fucking American people. We're talking about Europe right now, okay?
What are we talking about? We're talking about Black Jesus. You haven't even been here.
I mean, judging Black Jesus from the show.
You haven't even been here for 60 seconds. You don't know what we're talking about.
She's mad that we're talking about Black Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus wasn't American.
I can always,
there you go. There you go with the entitlement, the white entitlement again.
I can always mute Black Satan. And John the Baptist.
To hell, huh?
And the Latino John the Baptist.
Uh-huh, there you go. Can't see me too much if I'm Black Jesus. He's already been sent to hell and back.
Okay, yeah. So here's the deal. Where is the next? Why is ISIS trying to operate outside of Syria and Iraq when they're trying to establish their own autonomy? And how are these terrorist attacks playing in continentally with what their objective is? Can you guys answer that one?
I can. That's an easy one, but go ahead, John.
I would say to me, generally, if you're going to terrorize anyone, you find the path of least resistance. You also go to where you can make the biggest splash. Obviously, if they went to America, in New York City, and blew up the new Trade Center or the football stadium, that would make a big splash. But the problem is security is so tight. Everyone's just kind of knuckled down on that. So I would say you kind of go to wherever you can make the biggest splash with the least amount of resistance. And, you know, I think as Hitler found out, you know, if you want an easy path, go to Paris, you know. It's like you're not going to get as much resistance there. I could be wrong, but that's my thought.
Here's something I didn't know. Can I mention something? Well, you guys all remember the Charlie Hebdo attack in January where 17 people were killed, including staff members in the magazine office. In June, go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say, that's what they're saying, that this is all a result of, is the Charlie Hebdo cartoon. This is an extension or continuation of their protest, if you will.
Well, this is like news of the weird. So in June in France, a man in the southeastern part of the country decapitated his boss, displayed the man's severed head with Islamic banners, and set off an explosion in a factory. And last month, three American men brought down a suspected terrorist gunman who tried to open fire on a train bound for France.
And one of them got stabbed here in the United States while he was out partying.
Was he one of the three men who got hurt, but he survived?
Yeah. He was one of the three guys who took down the train terrorists, and then he came back, and he was an asshole and got stabbed. So, what does that
France
tell
was
you?
Also a target because they said they're prime minister said openly in the news that we're not going to receive 4 to 5 million Syrians. The problem has to be dealt with at the source.
Right, but the United States is not taking any. We said we would commit to 30,000 ultimately, but we were going to try to hit 100,000. Probably two have come by so far. That's it.
I heard we were taking in at least 80,000. I thought it was around 80.
Yeah, right. Where are they?
I don't know. If the government
right.
subsidizes me, I'll take in one.
You've already been down that road before. But, you know, for the most part, there is no commitment. There is no honesty. There is no humility. And there is no leadership in the United States anywhere. Anywhere. Zero. Z-R-O-W. Zero. And
well, that was one of John's suggestions, is that we can always ignore these ISIS people.
We are.
Ignore.
And they'll be
let's just stop paying attention to them and ignore them.
Well, we as minorities don't have to worry about that, because ISIS has explicitly said they were coming after the blue-eyed, blonde-haired Westerners. So we don't have to worry about that, because they're not coming after dark-skinned, you know.
How do you know? They're not just going to go pick a handful
said.
Of Norwegian-looking people.
That's what they said. That is their mission statement from day one.
Who's doing the dishes in the background?
Who's the...
I'm not doing dishes, but it might be laundry going into the dryer. That could be.
Would that be John Yoder?
It could be.
It might, but it could be.
That's only in a safe place.
Right, now, Pat is playing a video game, too, so I don't know if you hear a song.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention another key point. When the French airstrike, 12 French planes took off, they didn't take off from France. They took off from the United Arab Emirates and Jordan.
Right. And, then,
and it was,
you know, France,
perceived as more of a symbolic gesture.
Okay, well, they symbolically made 28 airstrikes, so whatever that means.
Well, do you guys want to attribute what other topic? I mean, I'm pretty much done talking about my parallel between Stalin and the Syrian situation with Bashar al-Assad. But the fact of the matter is I don't think this worldwide crisis is being handled well at all, either
that's
by
what
the European Union or anybody else.
That's what I just said. Nobody is leading us anywhere. Right now we're like a dog chasing its tail. And, you know, I can pretty much see us falling behind. And when I say that, we're still, you know, number one in most everything in the world, but we're still slipping backwards. And that's where we're having a problem. You know, we're going to be America in 34th place, but really we should be 70th compared to the degrees and scope that we were back in, let's say, the 60s and 70s. So it's not going to be the same 34th place that we are in the world in education, economy, and everything else. We really need to start giving people an opportunity to research and invent again. And that's what's been stifled by the oligarchy, where the corporations have taken all the money and they're holding it for themselves offshore just for, you know, money, the money growth and nothing else. No R&D, everybody's acquiring M&A, and we're looking at people doing things lazily and easily. and it has nothing to do with growth. This is the white man.
All the good academics in the world isn't going to stop a terrorist from killing.
That's not the point. The point is to be able to allow everybody, including those potential terrorists, to have self-esteem and to be able to have a life for themselves and their children. That's all every single person in the entire world wants. And when there are people who are oppressing them, the banks and other corporate entities who are completely oppressing these people, there is no reason for them to live. And so they go out and they are suicide bombers. Get that in your head, James. These folks are suicide bombers. They will kill themselves, see the 76 virgins, and be happy as hell. They will be martyrs. They will be heroes. And that's what we... Hang up there, then. You know, this is something that you're not getting. You're letting it get to you. And it's just a part of the mindset of different cultures in the world. These people are happy to die, especially if they're taking 10, 15, 30, 55 people with them. They're happy to die, Jane. Let it go. Just let it go. You know, and John hit the nail on the head when he said, what's 129 people or 120 people plus 9 terrorists? It's a drop in the bucket. You know, as the joke says, what's 500 lawyers trapped in the bottom of the sea? A start. You know, these people are just trying to call cultures, and it's a part of life. It's nature. It's natural. The Bible is all about war and destruction and exile. So we're talking about, you know, a normal, natural progression in life. So don't stress about it. Don't worry about it. If it happens to you, be happy that it happened quickly or whatever, humanely. These are
things
that happen all
the time. The thing is, though, is that Paris is one of the, you know, most well-known spotted cities of the world, and for there to be 6 targets on 6 locations in one day, and the city to be infiltrated like that goes to show that the security level is not very safe.
Well, remember there were 5 planes up in the air at 9/11, so that means that there might be an implication of the French government being complicit, just like George W. Bush was complicit and gave the okay to train these pilots in military bases on U.S. soil. They didn't have to learn how to, they said they didn't want to learn how to land them. They just wanted to know how to fly them, get the plane taken off. And there had to be some conspiracy, some complicity by the government and governmental officials to let that happen. 5 planes, 6 locations in France. That's a coincidence, or is that a continuation of a plan, of a strategy? You got to understand, these guys are all members of the Masons, the politicians, and around the world. So these are devil worshipers. Our governmental, these guys who are the Masons believe in the lower life.
I don't really want to get in the conspiracy theory shit tonight.
You don't have to.
That's a very interesting point, though. That is quite interesting. I know I spent a little time Friday getting some information on the JFK, situation. You have something that's totally surrounded by CIA people and the Warren Commission, everyone who's doing the research. It's CIA people, and you're going, hey, this is what we see. And then, so there's a lot of things that go on where we've lost our innocence and our trust in our government. And when you see things like this happening, like in Paris, I mean, it's a very sensational place for this to happen. And I think we'll see more of this. And it's very interesting when you you start to analyze this stuff and you look back from a farther place. If you get too close to it, you get blinded by all the lights and the noise. But when you step back and wonder who's to profit, who's to gain, how does this shift loyalty, then you see a different picture. I think John's got he's on to some very cool stuff.
Thank you.
I agree. You know, the thing, it's not really that. It's just that the random, and I'm going to call it random, whether it's planned or not, the random killing of Westerners by Islamic cells, it's a multi-targeted attack, but it's not serving the ultimate purpose. In fact, I think with even increased attacks, it's dying.
What is the ultimate purpose?
They're trying
to
destroy Western
society. Right.
They're trying to destroy Western society.
Right. And why would you say that they are not going to succeed when they are, in fact, exporting, as I mentioned earlier, probably 6% of all those people coming across the border are, in fact, ISIS.
I firmly disagree. I think most of them are just victims of war.
Do you know how large or how small 6 to 8% is of how many million? How many estimated millions have crossed thus far?
4.5 million.
Okay, so if you take 6% of that, you're talking about a significant number of people. 60,000 people somewhere in that neighborhood that will be ISIS agents in your backyard. That's significant. So the ISIS is importing their terror as we speak, and they can dissipate their actual, it's just like how the Americas grew, how the corporations, the steel corporations, the mafia, they tear up their land, they kill employees, and then over time they legitimize. And that's what ISIS is, that's a normal game plan in warfare.
The mafia doesn't have a moral fiber code.
Sure they do. Don't fuck with your own. Once you're in, you're in. That's their moral fiber code. And that's strict to the death. But in terms of making money, their moral fiber code is make more money. I don't see any difference in the Republicans on that. There is no difference. And they legitimize. How can you legitimize somebody like Frank Sinatra when he was one of the leaders of the mafia of family? What are you thinking? I don't know what you're thinking, Jane. This is real, real stuff.
I think you try to dumb me it down too much. I think life is a lot more complicated than that.
Well, you got old Blue Eyes and JFK, singing and dancing and banging around. So how far from truth is come?
Well, who's one of the conspirators who could have killed JFK? They were talking about the mob was probably the biggest suspect. Sorry about that. The mob was the biggest suspect in the JFK killing. And then the, you know, the second faction was Bay of Pigs. Anybody from Cuba, Castro, whatever. You know, there are a number of people in the FBI because he had too much information.
I know that. I saw the bloody movie.
Well, that's what movies got to do with it. You're talking about the lawsuits afterwards. You know, we're talking about the case being taken through court in its, you know, abruptness. It wasn't a real long case. But, you know, we're talking about the fact that there are all kinds of people who could have done that, and the mafia was right there on the top.
Well, I thought of we can start a movement tonight called UGT, Ungodly
okay.
Terrorists, the non-ally.
Practitioners.
I will defy their existence. I will make them symbolic betrayals of God.
Okay, you can do that, and then throw them in the same sentence as your avowed communism as your youth. Muslims, in a lot of ways, are communists in that they believe in having and sharing the wealth. They don't have any aspirations for the like the greedy Caucasians do. They don't want to rule the world. They
Who
just
doesn't?
Want the Muslims.
Bullshit.
They don't want, no, they want religious superiority, but they don't want to have, they don't care about monetary, they
I
don't care about monetary.
That.
Man.
I agree
yeah,
with
they
that.
They don't have monetary objectives.
The money is not, the money is just a means to an end. It's the money buys more votes, more ammunition, and more software to hack computers. That's all the money's good for. Otherwise, they could care less about the money. You're not getting it. They don't
I
care
do too
about
get
money.
It. Just because I don't share your vision. No,
what's my vision?
Okay, John and Don, I want to tell you guys something. I had a vision in the middle of the night. And it was a distinct vision. Now, do you guys believe God speaks to us through our dreams?
Yes.
Okay, so
sometimes.
I had, in my mind, there was a picture of the world. Imagine the world like the United States, the Atlantic Ocean, Europe and Africa, Asia. You know, like looking at a map the way you would horizontally. Well, in my dream last night, the world was, the map was tipped sideways. So like Asia was on top. Europe and Africa were in the middle, and the U.S. was on the bottom. And at the top of, on the top of the shiny map, first of all, my dream was in black and white. On the top of the shiny map in black and white, there was a shining star that was bold. And at the top of the map, which normally would have been China, it was Mecca, and it was Saudi Arabia, and Mecca's the city where they go for their holy Hajj journey each year. The Muslims go for their annual pilgrimage. Now, why would I have a dream like that of the city of Mecca being at the top of the world, but the world was tipped down vertically? Why would I have that dream?
You probably watched the Bible Prophecy Channel, and they were talking about Babylon Revisited. But actually, that's probably pretty accurate. You know, we know in the end of time, Babylon will come back, and that's Iraq, and it's, you know, the Middle East. It's so, and you know, the Israel, the Messiah is coming back to Jerusalem. So that whole area of the Middle East is going to be a hotbed of not only violence and terror, but also of prominence, money, and prosperity, and that the one who brings peace to that confusion. What we have to do is have everyone in chaos where we are screaming around going, God, help us. And suddenly a person appears on the scene that goes, oh, let me have my Muslim brothers and my Jewish brothers and my you know, Euro brother. Let's all shake hands, and people marvel at the beast and go, wow, who can make war with them? You know, this is the answer to our prayers. This is Messiah, heaven on earth. Jesus came before promising heaven, you know, the kingdom of heaven with spiritual kingdom. People didn't want that. We want material stuff. We want to fill our belly with this world. And this has always been the struggle that I'm in, you know, right now. Like, am I investing in the material world or the spiritual? So I think things are going according to plan, and I think you'll see more of this disruptive stuff going on all over the world. That's my nickel.
Yeah, well, I think it was something either Jane ate something or...
I didn't have a pot brownie, okay?
There you go. There you go. Ding, ding, ding. You answered your own question.
I just wondered why the vision was so clear. And I don't, definitely don't believe Muslims are the center of the universe, but right now they're center stage.
Well, they're center stage because people make them center stage. That they, they're trying their best. They're Donald Trump of the third world, okay? Any publicity is good publicity. That's one of the best sayings that I could ever convey to you and the audience in my journalistic learning. Any publicity is good publicity. And that's what Donald Trump is relying on. He doesn't have to have anybody's money because he makes publicity. He makes PR out of everything he says. He doesn't need to spend a dime, really. And that's the ultimate thing.
Well, I do think the world is rather desensitized. Okay, we're looking at people. We're looking at people in the stadium running. We're looking at concert goers pouring into the street. We're looking at bloody corpses side by side, or a cafe blown up. We're desensitized.
Right. Well, that's because of TV and video games, where you can play for 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you will continually die. But then, miraculously, you continually live. That's not reality.
Well. That's a never-ending thing, too. Ask my son, because he never stops doing it.
That's what I'm talking about. He's always dying. He's always dying. You're always hearing him yelling, oh, shit, motherfuck, God, me, but I've died again. And then they just miraculously come back to life. That's not
the only thing that's truly dead is your benign theories on race.
Why would they be benign? Benign? My theories are far from benign. Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, let's picture this. Let's picture France going in and hitting 28 targets. What are they really doing? I'm comparing this to your theories on black people and white people. So they go in and they kill Abdul, Muhammad, and Solomon in a cave that's hiding out on the outskirts of Raqqa. Is it really going to make a monumental difference in the world?
Yes, because if Solomon and Abdullah are ISIS fighters. And if they are high-ranking commanders, leaders, sergeants, whatever their delineations are, then they will take out a significant portion or part of a mature leadership, forcing that organization to bring in immature leadership, which is scared, unknowledgeable. And so it's a much easier time if we were to get up off and grow some balls in the United States to go over there and pretty much just take care of business. But you know, we
hear by the way, the Persh Mega took
feminism.
Out the Kurds, the northern Kurds in Iraq took out a big Iraqi stronghold this week. ISIS stronghold.
Right. And that's what I was alluding to when you're talking about the fact that ISIS is still winning if there's a winner or a loser, because they don't have to fight anymore. They're exporting their fight with refugees.
True. And also it creates martyrs. And so biblically what God would instruct people to do in old times is if you're going to take someone out, you have to wipe everyone out, down to the men, women, children, even the animals, everything they got, just wipe it out. And you go, that's pretty extreme. And, well, the reason why is because kid grows up with this big chip on his shoulder. You know, he's going to avenge his parents and his family tree and his country and his nation. So that's always going to go on. No matter what we do with this situation or what France does, the kids will come back and they will fight, and they'll carry this war that they've been carrying on for years and generations. It's one of those deals that it doesn't go away. What is important for France to do, though, or that they did do, is to make a stand politically for the people, to make them feel, just like when we took on Iraq, the American public, the day we went in, and we see the newscast in a couple of days, we just kind of, you know, bombed everything. Everyone was happy. There wasn't anyone really pissed off about it, except for the, you know, the peace and freedom kind of people. We were excited. So politically, political leadership got everyone excited, and we were happy. And it's just years later when we realized, we got a problem here, that we got ourselves in a pickle, that suddenly everyone was pissed off. So everyone in France, I'm sure, is kind of pumping their fist, going, you know, like we're setting things straight, and it'll probably, you know, later on, that's when they're going to start going, you know, what have we gotten ourselves into? Probably.
So we are at a conclusion that there's nothing we can do with this right now unless the United States can go over there and monitor. We don't even have to be on boots on the ground, so to speak, but we need to be able to coordinate Russia and France and England, who probably will jump in or has jumped in moderately, with our own forces. That's what we should do at first, to monitor the situation, devise a strategy. Right now, the United States is sitting back masturbating, and they're not prescient to what's going on around the world enough to merit action.
Well, we kind of feel like we don't want to get involved, like let everyone else get their hands bloodied. And then the problem, of course, is that the other players like Russia and you know, some of the other there's people with interests that want to get involved, want to jump in there and not to protect the Europe, but just to establish their own little network, to find out who's got what kind of security, what kind of weapons. There's all kinds of little things going on, you know, shaking hands like, hey, we'll supply you with this, we can help you out with that. No strings attached. And so it'll be interesting to see. And you know, we're just so gun-shy because of the whole our whole Iraq situation, that no one wants to really get blamed. So we're kind of standing off at a distance. But you do have to at some point engage in it somehow. I guess, you know, the safe thing is to have other people do the dirty work for us, and we'll just help them plan when they have these summits.
That's because you got the money offshore. We're reluctant to spend quote-unquote money we don't have. Shit, they can kiss my black butt. They have plenty of money. Go out to Google, take their money. Take Apple money. Take Microsoft money. Take their money. Take the money of Nestle offshore and some of the farmers. Take their money and put it in to the military so that we can modernize our fleet, our weaponry, our military, the men who are in there, you know, and ladies, so we can do those things. That's
I have a container of screwing up.
The white man's worthless.
I actually was reaching and grabbing a container of Nestle Quick. So you're saying maybe I should boycott these boys?
No, there is no maybe. There is no maybe. You should have boycotted Nestle's a long time ago. They're looking to monopolize water, and you already know. You didn't know that, huh? And California there is where they're taking all the water that they can. They're storing it for personal use. For personal speculation in the future, that we are going to be in a tremendous drought and they're the only game in town.
So I have to give up my chocolate.
You didn't know that.
I have to give up my chocolate water. Well, I knew when you go to the store, they got a lot of Nestle's water, and I was like, I wonder, you know, how they got into that.
That's kind of like Koch Brothers toilet paper. You know, they're good for shit. That's what the Koch brothers are for. But they have a, you know, monopoly on toilet paper and you know, paper towels and things like that. But
can
then,
I have,
you know, and lump.
Yeah. Can I have Hershey's instead?
Can I interrupt this broadcast for real news?
I need my chocolate.
This is you can have your chocolate, just don't have Nestle.
Excuse me, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Jihad Jane has a. Okay, so I was on NBC News tonight, you know, looking up the ISIS defeated region of Sinjar that the Persian Mega took over, and I clicked on Masoud Barzani, who is the president of Kurdistan. And I added him as a friend on Twitter. How's that?
And he just called. And he called you back and said, "Don't ever call here again, Jihad Jane."
No, I sent him a tweet that said, with a link to our show, and I said, "Have your friends listen in."
Here's a question for you, James.
And they're Muslim up there too, so they're going to be taking in quite a few of the. Immigrant.
Well, here's a question. Is Lolo's biological dad Muslim?
No, they're Christians. Liberia is 100% Christian. Sierra Leone, the neighboring country, is half Muslim, half Christian. And I live with... I live with Muslims for 5 years in Reseda. I lived with... Mahmoud Timbo and his wife Bintu Fofana, they were Muslims.
Yeah,
wow.
But that was only a couple. That's only a couple years shorter than Obama, who lived for like almost 7 years up in Indonesia. So you know, I truly believe that he is a Muslim sympathizer, if not a straight Muslim.
I have to
you know,
that.
Please, you know, you guys, you're really making me sick tonight.
What?
Wow.
You know, how dare you say that about my president?
Easily. He said about himself. He'd probably look in the mirror and say, hey, I wouldn't doubt that there are times that he just goes ahead and prays five times to the east.
When the Jewish leadership comes to America, he snubs them. I mean, we're not making this up. I mean, this is on the record.
He has never called them Muslim terrorists. That one phrase, they've been begging him. These people are sucking his dick in order to try to make him say that that there is a Muslim terrorist threat, quote unquote. He refuses to call them terrorists. That's ridiculous. It rolls off your tongue. Muslim terrorists. Muslim terrorists. You don't even have to change your inflection. But he refuses to say that.
And,
I mean, even the simplest thing, like, when have you heard people use his name Hussein? You know, like, he dropped it when he became president. It's like, but before then, when he was getting his grants for college and all this stuff, well, you know, hey, I am the foreigner guy. I'm, you know, I'm poor Hussein here. When he became president, it's like, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I don't even know how to spell Hussein.
I don't know how to spell that.
Yeah, that was after a couple Saturday night live skits that he said, at Howard, you think the president with the name Hussein would have been president. You know, you didn't see that one. There were those, I mean, the president, he was making jokes about it before, but now I'm sure he's had more than one death threat. He said, nope, dropping Hussein. Very good point, John.
Are you with us, Jane? Did we lose you?
I kind
you
of,
default?
Yeah. You guys,
Jane,
I have to catch
Jane
the bus.
Jane loses reality.
I have to catch the bus at 6:45, and I don't know.
Reality is setting in. Reality
don't
is
yeah,
your
so,
pres-
so I'm,
your
let's do our conclusion so I can play one of John's songs.
Muslim a sympathizer.
Okay, here's my conclusion. That you guys are stereotypers and you don't have a full comprehension of what's going on in the world.
What are we stereotyping? How
that
can you stereotype?
Barack Obama is a Muslim sympathizer.
Well, what the heck?
I think his dad was Muslim, wasn't he?
Was his dad Muslim?
Wasn't Obama's dad a Muslim?
That might have been the reason why he lived in Indonesia.
They had to program him. It took a while.
The mother went to Indonesia for a missions project. It had nothing to do with the old man.
Okay, well, then he had been in a Muslim school.
And she wasn't even with the dad. She wasn't even with the dad anymore. She married an Indonesian and had a daughter. And Barack Obama has an Indonesian sister.
Right, he does.
Right.
But remember, he went to school at a Muslim school.
I don't
and
really
remember,
care.
Remember early on?
We've lost our focus just like the terrorists.
You're jumping on Muslims. Muslims are people, too. A majority of Muslims are just as God-fearing, family-oriented, loving people, want to kill all the gays, just like normal people. And
Obama sympathizes with him, why does that make him bad?
I didn't say he was bad. You don't want to extrapolating information like that.
I muted Don for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
My conclusion is that, just a minute, Donna, I unmuted you. I'm muting you both so I can say my conclusion and then you can say yours, okay? My conclusion is that on a geopolitical strategy worldwide, the Muslims think that, like Don and John said, they might be getting points for attention, but they're not gaining ground for their movement. They may be recruiting displaced people here and there, but they are diluting their message by sending Muslims into all corners of the world who will eventually sympathize with the people who care for them, which will be the Western Christian nations. The Christians will prevail. The Islamic world will drown in their false doctrine. And that's it. The era of terrorism is over. You guys are off mute now.
Wow.
Are you picking up the trash over there, John, that we just heard?
Well, I'm just wondering, did she have a second helping of those brownies?
I think.
I think the brownies are talking.
Good Lord, Jay. Reality is reality.
Jesus is coming back before the Eiffel Tower can be lit in the Christmas lights.
Okay, well
something
the Muslims believe in Jesus, too.
Something to keep in mind, Jane, and that is they also had Muslim, you know, wars where they went across Europe and they conquered and they went down south a little bit and to Africa and all over the place. And the point is, even though the Catholic Church rose up and struck them down, they're still around, right? So all this stuff, we may push it back, but it's not going away. They'll be riding strong, and old Babylon will arise. It'll be new Babylon, and the whole culture, the whole thing will escalate. Actually, and I don't know.
No, Babylon. The Bible predicted Babylon would be conquered twice, and it has been.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be conquered a third time.
Oh no, but we have Babylon hasn't risen to be the center of the world again. It was
yes,
back
it
in those
has
times.
Under Saddam Hussein's 24-year reign.
No, that's not the Babylon.
Wasn't Babylon. Yeah, that wasn't Babylon. That was Hussein.
That was just like little mini Babylon. That was like a mini mart. No, we're talking
God,
like
God. He ruled for 24 years straight. It wasn't like a.
No. But
high
it wasn't
in the sky
debauchery.
Kingdom.
Yeah, but it wasn't the debauchery and the craziness and the unlimited homosexual activity that Babylon is going to be the second Babylon.
I mean, when we talk
all
about,
Babylon
just, well,
means is anti Christian values.
Except what
right.
Do you think I just went through? Anyway,
okay,
go ahead,
well,
John. Finish.
Let's agree to disagree. John, finish your conclusion.
Well, I will say, as always, follow the truth wherever it leads you. The truth that I perceive is that we got France in our pants now, and and it's not going to come out in the wash. So this is the new reality. You know, it's like... People want to bury their heads in the sand. People want to close their eyes and pray that it'll go away. It's not. The boogeyman is not leaving. We're going to see, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And the scripture tells us it's going to be like a woman in labor pains. When labor starts, it doesn't get lighter. It gets more intense. It gets more frequent. There is a period in between contractions where in that moment everyone relaxes and go, oh, okay, this has passed. But it will come again until that child is birthed. And what's going to be birthed is the new Jerusalem, the new world. But until that comes, it's going to be an incredible ride. In fact, Scripture says if the times weren't shortened, no one would live. You know, the very elect wouldn't survive. So you just got to put on your seatbelts. And you know, and like I say, if it looks like a Muslim, talks like a Muslim, acts like a Muslim, it's a Muslim. If it looks like a communist, if it talks like a communist, it's a communist. You know, sometimes we try to just whitewash everything. Huh, good choice of words. You just have to, you know, take things plainly the way they are, and don't try to color it in, you know, a different color. That's my nickel.
Don't try to color it a different color, huh?
If he walks like a racial misogynist, he is a racial misogynist.
Exactly, and that's what, you know, we've got people running around all over the place that are anti-women, anti-everything. They are anti-cat and dog. And that's why these people who are cat and dog lovers need to get off their ass and come and work in with whatever political party they want to work with, because they're cats and dog lovers. But we need to make sure that we get our head out of our ass. This is something that ignorance is the biggest tool for those who control. So if the people stay dumb, there's no chance for them to understand the changes that are needed. So that wasn't my conclusion that I wanted to say, but you brought up misogyny. I went with it.
I guess I want to say one more thing. One of the signs of the end is for the Rock of the Dome in Jerusalem to fall so that Jerusalem can rebuild its temple. So
maybe John,
I was kidding when I said that I thought the terrorism would go away, but I just don't like the randomness and the unexpected places that these terrorists show up.
Sure, but you know, going to your point about the Dome of the Rock, you know, it's a natural conclusion to think, well, it's in the way of you know, the temple and of Jews rebuilding their sacred site. But then, who knows? Maybe there'll be a joint venture. Maybe there'll be a compromise, and they'll go, hey, you know, the beast is reuniting, you know, Jew and Muslim because they're brothers, and
right.
Why can't we share this? There's all
they're
kinds
half
of crazy
brothers.
Stuff.
They're half
yeah, there's
brothers.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that you may see because it is an obstacle. How are they going to tear that thing down? How could they possibly rebuild it? Or maybe some archaeologists will go, you know, hey, technically, we thought it was supposed to be here, but really it needs to go over there. You know, so I think you'll see some crazy stuff you never even planned on. You know, God always has a little gotcha card when you think you got him figured out.
Okay, well, it's kind of like the game of life, and I'm going to end the show with that song. So
wow.
Good night, y'all, and we'll be having another midweek show Tuesday or Thursday, but Don will be sleeping.
No, I'll be in here. Who does this?
Oh, Donna,
we'll
how are you doing, by the way, Don?
Except for the fact that my sciatica is still kicking my butt after almost a month, I'm doing excellent. We're sitting here in the middle of northern Nevada, starting to take over the range of what needs to be done to comply with all the principles that are being espoused by government, where we have to change. We have to ultimately systematically change the way that we treat each other. We're heading up, or spearheading a youth movement here where the youth are actually, especially the white youth, are getting frustrated and they're getting downright upset with their own brethren, with their own fathers and ancestry. And that's a beautiful thing to see because it's the only fair thing to see. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why you see all these youngsters joining ISIS. Because they are actually really starting to rage or repeal their teaching. And that's,
someone's
that's,
doing
that's,
the
that's,
wash
that's,
again. I can hear clunkiness in the background.
Yeah,
oh, I know.
That's what I was talking about in terms of earlier, is that there is a change in the paradigm. And there is a fight now among white youth to be heard. And it's stronger than the civil rights movement back in the 60s and 70s. This is possibly going to be a cathartic situation where everybody is going to have a chance to let out their guilt. Because that's what's happening. The white man is guilty as all hell and feels it and doesn't want to deal with it. And blacks are starting to see they're feeling guilty because they know that they should have done more in the time that we started having a little bit of freedom in the last 50 years. That's the only time we've had freedom. And then Hispanics are they want to be included in the process. and they don't know how because they've got a lot of their relatives and friends who are still living in the shadows, so they dare not go out and be in the forefront of anything. So
we're too busy cleaning toilets and cars and taking care of their kids. We want to protest, but we're too busy working and supporting everyone else. And my guilt, being half, you know, German, half Mexican, my guilt now is the fact that I have to abstain from Nestle's chocolate products, and I don't know if I can hold up the end of the deal on that.
Well, that's all right. You stay
Why
away from
are you
LeBron
allergic to? Are you
towels,
allergic to chocolate?
No, Ron enlightened me that Nestle is the great Satan.
They are. And besides Walmart and most of the governmental agencies in Washington D.C., Nestle is there. Well, I forgot Google and Microsoft and Apple, but besides those guys, the biggest Satan is.
Are they the Illuminati or are they part of the Masons or both?
Basically both. When you're talking about the Gates Foundation, you're talking about the foundation that is one of the principal organizations or companies within that strata of the Koch brothers' sphere of influence. They are extremely close to devil worship and all that other stuff.
I can guarantee you with all their money, they're not going to have any influence over who gets elected in a year.
No, see, there's the problem that you've got again about losing reality. It really doesn't matter who's a president. If it's a Republican, Democrat, that's the whole point about the Illuminati and the Koch brothers. They give equal amounts to both parties because they know that ultimately they'll be able to have enough money given to the lower echelon legislators that it's whoever the president is, they can buy the lower guys and they can veto everything they want, make amendments in the back room all day long. They don't care who's the top guy. The top guy is irrelevant. Everybody else down below them that make the powerful, effective decisions and choices. So you're talking about
I gotta go to bed, dude.
That means that all your dogs who are Democrats come shit on your yard.
I'm going to bed now. We're playing the game of life. And it ends in 3 minutes.
Before you start it, here's a question. Will we see, besides black Jesus, will we see chocolate Jesus, the false one from Nestle, coming in there and deceiving people?
Yes. We've already
Does
got
it
one
really
in there
matter?
Now. We've got one now in there. His name is Hussein. And he is chocolate. He's not black. Half and half.
Oh, good point.
So he's already got you talking.
Everyone's been burned for less than some degree. Who can fill the space? What can fill the hole? The emptiness inside of you and me, the human soul. Is there really God? Does he know your name? Does he really care? And it's more than a game. So it's safe. That's the game of life. That's the game of love. See your world with everything that you've been dreaming of. That's the game of life. That's a game of love. Freedom of the choices, regret we make each day. That's a game of life. That's a game of love. It's the world of beauty and the world of great we made. Show me what you got. Tell me what I need. Show me something better than perhaps I will. Be made, battles will be fought. Someone's got to win, or you can be the lucky one. That's the game of life. That's the game of love. People need to know there's something more after they die.
Hail Obama. Obama's the king of the statement, John, I have you back on the line. Joseph Stalin's son tried to kill himself by shooting himself in the head, and he didn't kill himself. And the reason he tried killing himself is because his father criticized him too much. And when he failed the suicide attempt, his father said, "You can't even do that right." And then later on, Stalin's second wife killed herself.
Wow. It sounds like he was a real lady killer. Well,
Don hung up. Because I was tired of his dumb statements about Obama.
It's a mixed review. I mean, there are, you know, what would be really interesting. I would love to be behind closed doors. I would love to spend a day in the mind of Barack Hussein Obama. I would just love a day inside of his mind. I'm sure he's a well-intentioned person, and I'm sure he's doing the best he can. But I also think there's a side to him and our leadership that we just will never really know the truth. And just a reminder again, the Jane Hoffman Show has been brought to you by Nestle's. Nestle's, yes, sponsor of Chocolate Jesus. Ah, it's not Black Jesus, it's Chocolate Jesus, without that aftertaste that you get with the Christianity.
Is this a Ben Carson parody?
No, I was just kind of just winging it there. But, yeah, I was really...
Do you think I made Don mad?
Oh, no. No, he can roll with you. He knows who you are.
Well, I got to catch the bus in 6 hours, so JJ's hanging up.
All right. Looks like that's a wrap.
All right, well, thanks for contributing the song. Send some more, and send the ones in the mail that you promised 3 weeks ago.
Go ahead. I have to confiscate my Mac computer, and actually, I had a list of 20 things to do. I had 10 of them. I got to the sending you some new songs is actually on the list, so once it's on the list, it actually does happen. I'm hoping my outdated computer here can do the job.
I'll wait till you get the Mac back. But remember, payday is Thursday, so I'll talk to you soon. I gotta go. Okay?
Okay.
All right, good night. Good night, America.
Good night, America. Sleep in peace.
Viva la France. Bye-bye.